Do you personally, or does your family kind of stop down in any way and kind of reflect on this month or the day that just recently passed and kind of look big picture at the impact that women have had on your life?
Well, certainly the day itself had me thinking about women in my life who have certainly influenced my decisions and career choice and the position I have now.
Is there one immediate person or thought that comes to mind when you think about women who have influenced you in your life?
So in thinking about that, no, not a particular single person. I have been really, really fortunate to grow up in a large and very loving family. And now that I'm raising children of my own, I have incredible respect that I didn't and appreciation that I didn't always have for my own mother, who was and remains my biggest cheerleader in life. I grew up with two grandmothers. Both of my parents were living, and I still actually enjoy a 98-year-old maternal grandmother who lives independently, and she too has been a tremendous influence in my life. She had four daughters, so I grew up with aunts, and my father had a sister. So in thinking about the women who really have inspired me through my life, kept me on the right track, helped me and supported me, it's been the women in my family.
How has
and I have two sisters too, so
well, that's got to help. How has that helped to shape you? Are there talents that you can draw in your own leadership and in your own life, both as a mother and also as a state attorney, as a lawyer, and within a court to command and control a room and ultimately bring influence? I mean, what were some of the, or what, how did they shape who you are today?
I think, you know, as I mentioned, being a cheerleader, but also always setting expectations of what they expected from me, which was always to meet, for both myself and my sisters, to meet our potential, to find whatever it was, because all three of us are very different, our God-given gifts, and to take advantage of those. So you mentioned having command in a courtroom. I've been giving speeches since I was 13 years old. I didn't know then that that was a gift of mine. But it's certainly something that my parents supported and helped grow. So in terms of leadership styles, there are certainly professional women who have influenced my leadership style, and still women around me, colleagues I have every day who I learn from, just from running a meeting or from dealing with a difficult situation. And I draw on all of those experiences to establish what my own personal style is.
I'm sure it probably is a cliche sort of thing for someone who is in law, but do you look in the courts at lawyers, at justices, at judges, either on a local level, or I even think big picture all the way up to the Supreme Court and the impact that the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg had on so many women? Can you look outside of those who you even know to say that there were things about that style or that individual that helped to influence and shape you?
Sure. So Janet Reno, who obviously is now deceased, was always somebody who I looked up to, and she was breaking glass ceilings long before. I mean, she was paving the way for my generation. She was, as you know, the state attorney in Miami-Dade and then appointed to become the Attorney General of the United States. And so she was in a room for most of her professional career, surrounded by male colleagues, and earned the respect for her professionalism, her, you know, competence, her skill, and her demeanor from lawyers and justices all across our country. So she's always been somebody near and dear to my heart.
Those, how much clearer has the path become for women in the law profession today than maybe, as you mentioned, Janet Reno and Ruth Bader Ginsburg and others before you? Is the path clearer today, and how much clearer do you hope to make it for the next generation of women?
So I definitely believe that today is easier for my generation than certainly it was for Janet Reno's generation. Those women, those lawyers who sat in law classes and were just a handful of women surrounded by male class classmates really are those responsible for giving us as lawyers the opportunities that we have today. I would say going forward, you know, passing opportunity down and making sure we're granting opportunity to younger women is really important to me. So that's what mentoring is about. At the state attorney's office, not just recruiting women. We're now actually, we have more women lawyers than we do male lawyers, but making sure that we are identifying talents and merit and rewarding it. And so providing promotional pathways for women so that they can be seated at the leadership table and make sure that their voice is contributing. That's been particularly important to me.
As you look to mentor young women and maybe even with your children, what are the talents that really kind of speak to you that you hope to be able to help to guide and shape? Are there unique talents and are there one or two that immediately come to mind that you hope to somehow influence?
Well, this isn't so much a talent, but this is a characteristic that the older I get now in the position that I hold, just is underscored in importance. Obviously, competence, skill, ability are gifts and important for us to do our job as lawyers and certainly as prosecutors. But in managing people, I have found that the trait or the characteristic that I find most compelling is one that my dad, obviously not a woman, but my dad always just really impressed on us, and it's attitude. It's as simple, and so that's something I try to teach my kids all the time, my husband and I both do, because it's natural that we want to be around positive people and positive energy. And we find negative energy or negative attitudes uncomfortable. That's true in the workplace as well. So I've found that working hard with a positive attitude, even especially actually, for example, in the last year, the challenges that we have faced, I have found that characteristic or trait to be most compelling when we are looking at young lawyers and evaluating them and how they deal with, you know, adverse circumstances. Do they do it looking at those circumstances through the lens of the glass is half full and what can I make of the situation? Or is it a draw of negative energy? So I'm definitely, I would say attitude is the one trait that I've come to value very much.
Do you also think you value it because it's something that can so easily be controlled or taken control of?
Rich, that is absolutely true. We are responsible, and in teaching, you know, as parents and teaching children, that's a lesson that's so important to impart. We are responsible for our own actions. And so one of the things, you know, my husband tells our kids all the time is not to take things personally. That's difficult to do, but it's so true. We are responsible for our outlook on life. Certainly, challenges and poor circumstances can contribute to down days or a period of downtime. And let me also say, I recognize the reality of real mental illness. I understand that. But I do think we are responsible and capable of creating how we view the world. And so our attitude is absolutely something that we are in control of. And so we can choose when we wake up in the morning to practice gratitude and to be happy, or we can choose to think that perhaps we're the victim of circumstances or somebody else's. And that's perception. So yes, I absolutely agree that that's individual and it comes from us.
As a mom, what role do you hope that your children will ultimately, and especially the young ladies, will play in society going forward, if you do have a hope for them, wisdom that you can impart on them, that at some point when you are long past this earth, you can look back and see what sort of impact they made?
Really what I want for them, obviously I want them to be healthy, I want them to be happy, and I want them to be nice people. That I would say kindness is my main hope for them, that they are compassionate individuals. I obviously want them to know that they can achieve anything they want, but also know that they have to work to achieve what they want. That just because they may want to play a collegiate sport, they aren't going to get it just because they may think that they are good at something. They're going to have to work. And so the sky's the limit. It's what we try to tell them all the time. But with every good thing, it obviously takes work ethic.